Hello. This episode is a little bit delayed. MJ was kidnapped by a demon again.
Yeah. Demon called COVID. He's real. He's real and he has teeth and claws and I'm very tired.
That's okay.
I don't recommend it.
Yeah. I've been busy though. For some reason, over the last year, I decided to transcribe an Irish public domain novel originally published in 1903. And I finally finished that and put it up online on the Internet Archive. If anyone who's listening to this podcast is also interested in independence or like early 20th century, very early 20th century Irish novel, I guess. I started looking into it basically because it was of a local historical interest.
It's called after your hometown.
Yes. This is why I started looking into it. It's called Clashmore, which is where I'm from. I realized after reading it that it has nothing to do with Clashmore the town, and is in fact just using the name for a fictional Viscount Clashmore. And the entire novel is instead set in Tramore, which is
something that I love. Just the town can't even get a break in fiction.
No.
Tramore.
So I don't know if you're from Tramore or Dunmore, you've any interest in
Copper Coast by
exactly.
Gotta see those fucking sandstone cliffs by.
Yeah,
it's all more beautiful, beautiful. Tide'll kill you. Tide'll fucking kill you. It looks smooth, but yeah.
If this novel is to be believed, There's absolutely deadly quicksand all around Tramore that you should avoid, or not all around Tramore, but along the rabbit burrows. Is it the sand dunes that are like east of the town? I don't know. It claims that there's a fellow who dies from falling into quicksand there in the novel.
Given the vast and immediate exodus of young people from the area, I would say that sounds fake. But
how do you know that that's not where the young people ended up?
Then who's posting all those Facebook updates? Instagram updates?
The quicksand
of Facebook. Facebook is the only place I know people who I went to school with, and I guess the only people that are posting on Facebook in the year of our Lord 2022 when you're younger than 50 are people who are involved in multi-level marketing schemes, which are themselves a form of quicksand. So
yes,
financial quicksand.
Okay, before we start in earnest, I have one other thing, which is, mm-hmm. So Sun Wukong has been trying to fight the one-horned Demon King, and he's enlisted the help of various gods so far, all of which have just had all of their weapons stolen and have been no use whatsoever. So
yeah.
I want you to guess, who do you think Wukong is going to ask for help this chapter? And I will give you the free hint that it isn't Guan Yin.
Our terrifying trans queen / hyper competent civil servant is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, so but it is someone we have seen them before.
I'm gonna guess it's someone that Wukong has pissed off, and that does not narrow the field at all. but I'm gonna go with Lao Tzu.
Okay, interesting.
Okay. What?
So,
who is it?
You'll find out.
God, the suspense!
So, this chapter is going to have brief mentions of slavery, beatings and the torture headband's going to come up again.
Yay! The beatings will continue until morale improves, but really because we're doing this for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose there's a lot of context in which that could have... Yeah, I don't even have the excuse of being tired or sick right now. This is just... Yeah.
All right. So, the stone monkey, the handsome monkey king, Sun Wukong, the great sage, equal to heaven, pilgrim son, fights his way out of the Golden Helmet Cave of the Golden Helmet Mountain, residence of the great king, one-horned buffalo, and heads back to Devaraja Lee and the others, who ask him where all their shit is. Because it was all stolen by the buffalo king, and Wukong doesn't have it. He just grabbed his own rod and left. He forgot anything else, including the fillet that he was meant to steal. But it's fine. Now that he has the rod back, he could definitely beat the Demon King that he's already lost to twice, and it won't go wrong again. It's fine.
Yeah, I feel like at that point you just give all your stuff up as an asshole tax and walk away.
So he doesn't. He goes to provoke a fight again. And he and Horny fight for 3 hours until...
In the gap in recording, I had somehow forgotten that you had given him that nickname.
They fight for 3 hours till it starts to get dark. And the demon suggests giving it a rest till morning, but Wukong refuses. And the Demon King, who is for some reason now being referred to as the Bovine Great King instead of the Great King One-Horned Buffalo, and those two names are listed as if they're separate people in the index. I don't know, did Anthony Yu like change the translation he was using and like not update it everywhere?
I don't know. I will not have my good man Tony Yu slandered like that. I choose to believe that One Horn Buffalo King is who he is in the daytime, and the Bovine, what was it?
The Bovine Great King.
The Bovine Great King is Great Horn Buffalo King after dark.
I see.
This is no.
Even more horny.
This is when it gets really horny. Yeah, exactly.
This is one thing. This is like the Journey to the West revised edition. So this is like the second edition. So I wonder if like it was a different translation, maybe in the first edition, and he missed some places for the revisions in this edition. I don't know. I'm just completely guessing here.
It could happen, but I prefer to think that he's fighting one sexy buffalo demon right now. Whatever that looks like in your head, dear listener, picture it.
But anyway, the Bovine Great King, One-Horned Buffalo King, just leaves and reaches back to his cave anyway and leaves Wukong behind. So Wukong goes cricket mode to sneak into the cave, and there's another poem to the tune of Moon Over West River, which is just...
Cricket mode?
Yeah, he turns into a cricket.
So not like goblin mode, but noisier?
I mean, you can imagine that if you want to, but he turns into a cricket.
Okay.
So he sneaks into Buffalo's bedroom, and he sees the Demon King being put to bed by some mountain ghosts and tree spirits who are, I don't know, they're just described as being like powdered and rouged. They have a load of makeup on. I guess they're his concubines, or
it's a fucking cabaret, man.
Yeah, so
that's what's going on there.
Wukong spots the fillet that's been the bane of his existence as they undress the Buffalo King, and I've been calling this a hat in like previous episodes, just to use a more familiar term. But a fillet is more like a headband. Like, Wukong's torture headband is called a fillet as well. And in this case, our bovine gentleman is actually wearing it around his shoulder as kind of safekeeping rather than wearing it on his head. So calling it a hat anymore really doesn't make any sense. It's a band. And he doesn't take it off when he gets into bed. He sleeps with it on. And once they all go to sleep, Kong turns into a yellow flea, and he bites the demon on the shoulder to try and get him to wake up and take off the band. And he does wake up briefly, and he just says out loud to himself, "These slaves, they ought to be beaten more often. They don't shake the covers, nor did they brush the bedding. Now I've been bitten by God knows what." Great guy.
Yeah.
I should beat my slaves more.
You don't get your money's worth out of your free labor.
Mm. Wukong keeps biting him, but the demon kind of fidgets and adjusts at the fillet, but he won't take it off. So Wukong returns to Cricket and scouts out the rest of the cave a bit until he hears the sound of Mars's fire dragons and fire horses behind the door. And he uses lockpicking magic to get in and finds the room full of all the stuff stolen by the fillet, including his 50 hairs, which were pulled in as well, which he turns back into monkeys so that they can steal everything back, bring it back out to the gods, and on the way out, they set the cave on fire for good measure.
As you do. Nice bit of beef brisket there.
Yeah, this doesn't kill the buffalo. So he wakes up and he finds that most of his minions are dead, his house is on fire, and all of his recent loot is gone. But you know what he still has?
What?
Well, he still has the fillet, but also he still has Trippy Taka, Wu Jing, Baji, and the horse. Wukong didn't fucking save them. He just left them there.
Oh,
when
shit.
He lit the place on fire.
Oh,
so
shit.
Did Wukong.
That's an oversight. I get. Well, there was a lot going on. There was a horny after dark slave owning demon, and you know, the cabaret ghost trees.
He lit the place on fire.
You know, I'm not always on Wukong's side in these things, but things happen, you know? There's a lot, it was a very distracting environment.
So the bovine demon stays up kind of ranting to himself until dawn. And back at the camp outside, as day breaks, Nata suggests an all-out attack on the cave. So all the gods, re-equipped, ready to go, rush forward in unstoppable force, ready to bring divine justice against the demon, who immediately steals all their shit again with the fillet. I don't know what they were expecting. They just immediately lose everything again.
This is a very dead dove do not eat situation. Yes, let's do the exact same thing we did before. Also, has this thing been burning all night, and are these people still in there?
I think they've gotten the fire under control at this point.
Okay.
He has less than 100 minions left, but he still has a good few guys left. So
yeah, there are minions about.
Yeah. And he tells them to seal up the door and just get the place cleaned up as best they can. And start getting ready to eat Trippy Taka.
None of these people eat him right away. They have to make a performance out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's just like Bond villain narrative.
They always want to prepare him properly. They don't want to just like eat a raw monk. They always want to have a nice little banquet for it, make an occasion of it.
Yeah, you got to properly prepare your monk.
Half the time they're inviting their family along as well. So Mars gives out to Nata for being so impulsive, and the Thunder Squires blame Devaraja Lee, while the Star of Watery Virtue just sits around and sulks a bit.
Fair. Fair. So, I would be upset also.
So Wukong decides to see if he can find out anything more about this buffalo. Nata points out that they already went to the Jade Emperor to try and track him down. They found nothing. But Wukong decides trying to go to the next authority up. Fatagata Buddha himself.
Buddha? Yeah. Okay.
So
this is Sun Wukaren is back. He wants to speak to the manager's divine enlightened manager.
Yeah, so Wukong flies off to the Western Heaven, you know, the destination of this pilgrimage they've been on for the better part of a decade. He just flies there. This presents absolutely no obstacle for him whatsoever. He just flies there.
I'm really glad that Tripitaka is still being held hostage at that point. Also, I'm imagining the Karen haircut on him just kind of whipping around in the breeze. As he flies forth on his trip to the manager.
At the Western Heaven, Wukong, or Sun Wukaren, if you prefer, is greeted by Buddha's aunt and stepmother, whose name I will now proceed to butcher as always, Maha Prajapati, the first Bhikshuni or Buddhist nun, who shows him to her nephew.
Like, this bitch is here.
No, it's fine. No, she's fine with this. Their way is barred by the 8 great diamond guardians, which a footnote interestingly notes normally contains Guan Yin, but she's not mentioned in the narrative, but like these 8 great diamond guardians normally as Buddhist figures include Guan Yin.
Guan Yin is having a fucking day off. She deserves it. Guan Yin went and got a manicure today, and now she's at a wine bar reading a trashy novel, having the time of her fucking life. That's what's happening to Guan Yin right now. I need this for her.
So Buddha's aunt announces Wukong and he's allowed to pass, and Buddha asks Wukong why he's here by himself and not with the Tang monk, and Pilgrim Sun touches his head to the ground and as respectfully as he can tells Buddha the whole story, and asks Buddha if he can have a look and find out where the buffalo came from. So Buddha looks off into the distance and immediately knows everything. And he tells Wukong he's not going to let him know who Horny is, because Wukong has loose lips and he will immediately let slip that it was Buddha who told him anything. And he doesn't want the Demon King coming over here and giving him shit because Wukong can't keep his mouth shut.
He has a point. He has a very good point.
So Buddha will deal with this himself, or rather he will send some of his people to do it. He's not actually going. He gets 18 arhats to take 18 grains of golden cinnabar sand and head back with Wukong to the Golden Helmet Mountain. So the plan is that Wukong will go provoke the demon into another fight for like the 5th time, and the arhats will use the sand to trap him. So, as Wukong bangs on his door, the great king with the single horn wonders to himself, well, who the fuck did Wukong ask for help this time? Presumably not expecting it to have been fucking Buddha.
Literal Buddha.
Actually just fucking Buddha.
This guy, I want to speak to the manager himself out of death. Of course it's going to be Buddha.
So rather than go for another boxing match fist to fist with Wukong, the demon just attacks Wukong with his lance, and Wukong runs away and the Arhats pour out the sand. So even though it's only 18 grains, they create a huge sandstorm that blinds the demon. And he realizes that his feet are already buried in 3 feet of the stuff. He tries to jump away, but the time it takes him to try, it's after rising another foot and he's stuck. But he does...
The sand pulls him all the way down. He finds himself choking and spluttering and he's coming to the ground. But wait, there's light. And he sticks his horny head up to the smell of chips and seagulls and realizes he is in Tremor.
Yes,
there are six people trying to sell him essential oils.
The secret to the Clashmore novel I mentioned earlier is it's actually halfway through the One Horned Demon King shows up, and it turns out it's a sequel to Journey to the West.
Just decides to fuck shit up. Turns over an ice cream cart, scares some people. It's a seaside town for anyone who didn't gather there.
Yes.
He just tramples through the amusements in search of a monk, and he finds one nun and looks at her and goes, nah. Fuck this. He runs a coffee shop there now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't drink coffee, but I heard it's very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Decent hot chocolate.
I mean, a lot of the place is getting actually pretty gentrified now because of the rents, but nobody wants to trouble his premises for some reason.
But yeah, anyway, what actually happens is he throws the fillet in the air and it sucks up all the sand and he escapes fine. Not even Buddha's fucking shit can beat this fillet.
Fuck me, where did this thing come from?
There is a backup plan.
Okay.
So two of the Arhats, Dragon Subduer, a Tiger Tamer, tell Wukong that Buddha told them that if they failed this mission, they should go talk to Laozi because his palace is where the demon is originally from.
Ah, so I was kind of correct.
Yes, they do actually go to Laozi.
Yes. I never guess these things right.
So, Wukong heads up to heaven again, and everyone at the South Heaven Gate asks him how the business with the monster is going, and he tells them he's still working on it, still sorting it out. And at Laozi's palace, they find that his green buffalo has escaped, and the boy who was meant
to has it now.
Yep,
has your buffalo escaped? Has it?
It's just like what happened in Macroom there a few months ago.
What happened in Macroom?
Another
murder suicide.
No, oh, Jesus. No, you know the way Macroom has like the
That's
only...
all I know Macroom for. They've had like three.
Do you know the way Macroom has the only like herd of buffalo in Ireland?
Oh yeah, that's the mozzarella and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, like sometime last year, some lads like showed up with a lorry and herded the buffalo into it and just like stole the buffalo.
I love that. That's very Celtic.
You see the thing? Yeah, they went in the cattle raid. A modern pawn. But they presumably realized very quickly that if you steal the only buffalo in the entire island, that it is very difficult to discreetly sell them.
It is very difficult to hide a herd of buffalo also.
It's very difficult to either sell them to another farmer under the table or get them out of the island on a boat because they're the only buffalo in the country. So a few days later, they came back in the middle of the night and returned them. I don't know if anyone ended up getting charged for this, or did they just kind of say, oh, well, they returned them, so leave them off. I never looked it up.
I want to know what happened to the buffalo people.
we can look it up.
Croom buffalo theft. Harder to cover up than a murder, I guess. It was only a couple of hours.
Yeah, apparently I had it a bit wrong. Doesn't say whether anyone was charged or anything. Oh no, wait. Oh yeah, the Irish Farmers Journal says that the animals were not officially reported as stolen, so I guess no one got charged for it.
I think they knew who did it. It's just like, come here, lads, just give the buffalo back and we'll say no more about this.
Must be very stressful for the poor buffalo.
Yeah. I hope they're okay.
Mm.
Well, I mean, they're being, you know, farmed and regularly. I hope they're as okay as they can be.
I hope they're as okay as farm animals typically are. Yeah, I don't know. They are held to, they are doing as well as can be expected.
I hope they are in the best case scenario for that particular arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, anyway, the boy who was meant to be guarding Laozi's green buffalo fell asleep after stealing some of Laozi's. The elixir of seven returns to the fire, which makes you fall asleep for 7 days.
And this just happens to do weird things to buffalo?
No, so he was guarding the buffalo, and while he was asleep, right, the buffalo just escaped. Okay. And became, because it's like a heavenly buffalo, when it went to earth, it became like this godly creature, because it's
out of its native environment and it is confused.
So Laozi also realizes that his diamond snare is missing. And so I don't know, can you cast your mind all the way back to chapter 6, but the diamond snare is something that Laozi previously used to help Erlang capture and tie up Wukong. Back when he was originally captured and then brought and put on the brazier and etc.
The what? Sorry, what was he put on?
The brazier. The brazier.
You can't see it, but Cuiva's giving me the finger to the camera, and also has a very nice manicure.
Mm. Yeah, so it's one of Laozi's most powerful treasures. He thinks that if the buffalo had also stolen his plantain leaf fan, then Laozi probably wouldn't even have been able to stop him. But this is what the fillet actually is. It's Laozi's diamond snare.
Okay, so somebody breaks into your house and steals your most precious elixir, and it's a little fucking bastard of a monkey that just gets everywhere. And it's the festival of the immortal peaches, and just weird shit happens anyway. Grant, fine. We're very sorry for you, Laozi. We'll try and get this sorted. At this point, invest in some fucking home security.
Well, no, like,
you know, you've got your buffalo's running all over the place. He's nicked half your stuff.
Someone was guarding the buffalo. It's just that guy fell asleep.
And why did he fall asleep, Cuiva?
Because he stole, well, like,
yeah, just, yeah, yeah. Because he stole the, but, or, like, I don't, or even
like he had, I don't know, he had security. Like, it's just that the security was untrustworthy. It's like, what, I don't know, like, what can you do about that?
Like, don't leave your dangerous potions unattended. A cabinet, perhaps.
Invest in a safe. You know, yeah.
It's like, yeah, there are childproof locks. Like, they got a bleach. Like, surely, you know, you're the wisest man who's ever lived. You can possibly do like a guarding spell on a cabinet door, or I think he likes the drama at this point. I think it's chaos energy. It's just like he's just leaving these things out there, going, "Oh, I hope nobody takes my immortality causing potion that makes you high for 3 days and fucks like a god. Oh no. He's just living for the chaos.
I feel like he's probably just more like an absent-minded scientist kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm blaming the victim a little bit here, aren't I? He was asking for those thefts. Okay, let's just walk all of that back. The last 10 minutes didn't happen.
Anyway, okay, yeah. So
I've done a lot of growing and reflecting in the 30 seconds since I've said that. There's a lot of healing that needs to be done on all sides, and I accept responsibility.
Oh dear. Right, so the plot. Anyway.
Oh yes, back to the plot.
Oh. Yeah. So, but he still has his fan. So he takes that with him and he goes with Wukong to the Golden Helmet Mountain. And Wukong, for the 100th time, goes to start a fight with the buffalo. Wukong's out, ready to fight again. But when he comes out, he doesn't expect Lao Tzu is there and calls for his buffalo to come home, which is the first thing that has really scared the Demon King here.
Oh, and shit.
So Lao Tzu starts fanning him with the fan and he tries to throw the fillet to Lao Tzu in retaliation, but Lao Tzu is able to just catch it because it's his, and continues to fan the buffalo, which causes him to like lose all of his strength and turn back into his original, more buffalo-y form.
The most buffliest of yes. forms.
So Lao Tzu then uses the diamond snare as a nose ring and like attaches it to the buffalo's nose and ties his sash around it to use as a rope. And this is kind of given as a just so story for how bull nose rings were invented.
Ah. Seeing that the buffalo was scared, I do kind of wonder what he's going back to now.
Good point. I don't know. You'd wonder what Lao Tzu needs a buffalo for. See, like, need some weird ingredients.
I was just hoping he was a big fan of mozzarella. Mm. But I see your point.
So Lao Tzu rides buffalo back to heaven, and Wukong and the rest of the assembled gods kill everything else in the cave and finally rescue Tripitaka and the others, which Wukong has had like 3 opportunities to do up until now and just didn't. So
how's Tripitaka doing?
Please, he's great. No, he's grateful. He doesn't realize that how much Wukong fucked this up. He just thinks, oh, I'm finally rescued.
He does it. Please tell me he never finds out that Wukong fucking flew to the Western Heaven.
He doesn't tell him, no.
It's better that way. I think it's better that way.
So, reunited, they head out on the road again, and they suddenly hear a voice shouting out not to forget their food. And the last line of the chapter is, the elder was terribly frightened. We do not know who it was that called them. Let's listen to the explanation in the next chapter. But it's just the fucking local god that Wukong
scary ghost food
gave the bowl of rice to hold on to while he like sorted this out like 3 chapters ago. It's not
okay.
It's just him. Well, the guy. That's not much of a cliffhanger, but I will say, I won't say why, but I will say, I am really looking forward to the next chapter. I am so excited to do the next chapter with you. It's one of the ones that I have been wanting to tell you about for the last 2 years.
I don't know what answer. I don't know if I can trust the answer I received on this question. Is there any child murder?
Well,
you know what? I'm just gonna go in with the expectation of child murder in every chapter.
That is a question that's surprisingly complicated to answer, and I do not want.
No complicated answers in child murder. This is not a nuanced situation. You know what? Yeah, no, it's the journey of the Monkey King guarantee. Child murder in every episode, or all the money you spent on this free content back.
Yes.
Not for Patreon or Patreon patrons. That money is still ours. Sorry.
Yes. Good
regardless
segue.
Of whether
good.
They're not
we have a Patreon. You can find it at patreon.com/monkeykingpod, and you can find us on twitter.com/monkeykingpod. And we have Twitter accounts as well.
Child murder king.
There will be links. I will link to that book I spent a year transcribing, even though it wasn't actually about the place I thought it was about. I mean, I did spend a whole year transcribing. I just like started a year ago and then took my time with it. Yeah, fuck it. Do those things, please. Next chapter. Steal a herd of buffalo. Listen to the next chapter. Figure out why I'm being so cagey about the child murder question. MJ's just hanging their head.
No, you can't both sides child murder.
Bye.
The dead legendary figure.